You are listening to WRBB 104.9 FM Boston, and this is The Dark Forest.
Kitchen window, and I take all my clothes off, take that bottle of champagne, and I pour it on my head, feel a cascade through my hair and across my chest, and the phone rings, and it's my mother, and she says, "Hi, honey, how's Boston?" And I stand there, all alone on New Year's Eve, buck naked, drenched in champagne, looking at a bunch of strangers, looking at them, looking at me, looking at them, and I say, "All fine, Mom, how's Washington?" Party line is I followed you up here. Well, I don't know about that. Mainly because knowing about that would involve knowing about some pathetic, ridiculous, and absolutely true things about myself. I'd rather not admit to right now. I woke up at 3 a.m. with the radio on, that Gladys Knight and the Pip song on, about how she'd rather live in his world with him than live in her own world alone. And I laid there, head spinning, trying to fall asleep, and I thought to myself, "Oh, Gladys, girl, I love you, but oh!
Yeah.
Welcome back to another dangerous and evil trek through the dark forest with me, the Dungeon Master, and...
the Crypt Keeper.
And our special guest, who has come here all the way from the Great Tower...
I'm Apprentice. Thanks for having me on.
Glad to have you here.
Thank you for being here, Apprentice.
This is my first radio show. My great mage and mentor, Master Zarthan, sent me here. So, yeah, thank you.
It's an honor to have an apprentice of Master Zarthan with us on this particular trek. Thank you for making it all the way here.
Absolutely. It was quite treacherous.
Yes, it's great to have you. So this week's genre this journey through the dark forest. As we tend to do every week, we journey through. Sorry, I'm rambling.
You're kind of rambling there.
Yeah. Because you're still talking, man.
Well, that's kind of funny because this week's genre happens to be ramble rock.
Ramble rock.
What's ramble rock?
What's ramble rock? You guys don't know ramble rock? It's a great classic, genre of music, ramble rock. It started kind of in the 60s or something.
I recall my dad telling me about ramble rock.
Yeah. Let's listen to some more ramble rock.
Exits to freeways twisted like knots on the fingers. Jewels cleaving skin between breasts. Your Cadillac breeds 400 horses over blue lines. To make love to a model from Ohio whose real name you don't know. You spin like the Cadillac was overturning down a cliff on television. And the radio is on, and the radio man is speaking, and the radio man says women were a curse. So men built Paramount Studios, and men built Columbia Studios, and men built a Los Angeles. It is 5 a.m. and you are listening to Los Angeles. It is 5 a.m. and you are listening to Los Angeles. Says it is a beautiful night out there, and the radio man says rock and roll lives, and the radio man says it is a beautiful night out there in Los Angeles. You live in Los Angeles, and you are going to Reseda. We are all in some way or another going to Reseda someday to die. And the radio man laughs because the radio man fucks a model too. Gone savage for teenagers with automatic weapons and boundless love. Gone savage for teenagers who are aesthetically pleasing, in other words, fly. Los Angeles beckons the teenagers to come to her on buses. Los Angeles loves love. It is 5 a.m. and you are listening to Los Angeles. It is 5 a.m. and you are listening to Los Angeles. I'm going to Los Angeles to build a screenplay about lovers who murder each other. I am going to Los Angeles to see my own name on a screen 5 feet long and luminous.
as the radio man says. It is 5 a.m. and the sun has charred the other side of the world and come back to us and painted the smoke over our heads an imperial violet. It is 5 a.m. and you are listening to Los Angeles. It is 5 a.m. and you are listening to Los Angeles. You are listening. 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 You are listening.
So then I got this idea about driving a cheesecake truck, because I figured at the end of the day I could take some of the leftover cheesecakes home, and I love cheesecake. So I went to the Cheesecake Company, and they asked me if I could drive a truck, and I said yes, and they said, you're hired. So the next day, I got in the truck with all the cheesecakes, and I drove about a block, and I just had to have a cheesecake. So I pulled over and opened the truck, and I got a cheesecake, and I also took one for later, and I took one for my friend Farm Boy, and I took one to bring home, and by that time, I had eaten one of the cheesecakes, so I took another one. Then I figured I might as well stop at my house to drop off all the cheesecakes. So I take 5 cakes to eat on the way, and I drive another block and a half to my house. Now it's lunchtime, so I ate 10 cheesecakes and a cheesecake for dessert. I should point out, by the way, that all of these cheesecakes were very delicious. Anyway, I decided that the only thing to do would be to eat all the rest of the cheesecakes and hide the truck somewhere and leave town. And I miss everybody a lot, but I'm not really sorry, because they were very delicious cheesecakes.
Down your name or your favorite band. novelty allotment. The blowflies started buzzing, and we moved out of the basement apartment. We crammed the secondhand furniture into her car. Cracked paint flaked off in fat chips on the back seat. With swollen trash bags of t-shirts, swimsuits, old shoes, a violin bow sticking out the window. Annie gathered and bagged the unread mail as I milled about, memorizing light switches, water stains. Dropped the key in the letterbox and drove off.
So let me tell a quick story, right? So the other day, you know, I was just wandering through the dark forest.
As you do, yeah, of course.
Happened to, you know, I needed to fetch some water crystals, so I made my way down to the Slaughter Beach.
How come you, like, needed the crystals?
Oh, well, you know, I was trying to cast a spell.
What kind of, you know, like, incantation? A protection spell?
No, this is a harmful spell.
Okay.
I was trying to get back at someone.
Right.
I'll say that.
What'd they do to you?
So I'm walking down the beach, right?
Okay. I'm
walking across the beach, you know, scoping out the water.
Beach or the dark beach?
The slaughter beach.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Scoping out the water for any crystals. Looking to find, I stumble across this goblin, right? And this goblin, he immediately tries to stick me up. You know, he takes his little scrawny little dagger and he puts it.
Give me all your money.
Put up to my neck. Yeah.
Pop out of some hole somewhere.
Come on.
You know. Yeah.
Thing about having a lot of artist friends is getting to see a lot of unreleased or unfinished work being tossed around casually, as if it was just another average part of their life, since obviously for them it is. At the same time though, even though these artists will share this stuff with you freely if you're, as they say, in the know, you get the feeling that they wouldn't want it to be seen as well to the larger audience that they're creating for, as something that can be placed into the context of their life.
2005 to 2010, bad .jpg, worst.jpg, dicks, pass summon damn part 1, and SFW. Viking grips with dollar signs for essence, pussy address, more guitar shit.
The shitty thing about having artist friends is getting into the front seat of their car and having to rest your feet on fast food burger wrappers and empty Gatorade bottles. It's depressing to realize that these people that you thought had a much better hold on life than you don't really have their shit together. At least not in the normal sense. And if I'm being honest, it does kind of matter. Apparently it's impossible to be an artist and not have peeped in car club holders. I'm not excluding myself from this.
To my middle name. Always getting notes in the mail. I forget about them or I throw them away.
not a good habit, I don't recommend it. I got fucked over, like to suspend it. Pay those fines, and now I'm broke. I think I learned my lesson, but you never know. Sun was going down, I was speeding again. Happy-go-lucky soon turned to dust as the red lights flashed, you make the bus. Big boots closing in real fast. Here comes the question, gonna be a blast. How fast you really think you were going? Yellow slips mine and I keep on driving. Pull to the side and you work some magic. You can't always get away free though. Sometimes you just get the shortest stick. So many traits that I can't pick. Man, this guy's skull is thick. Sorry about my speed back there. It's a new car and I'm getting used to its pedal. I'm headed to a show, I stayed away. I hope I'm on time, I'm sorry to say. What kind of music do you play, son? I play country, sir, I'm proud to say. It's the only kind of tune I listen to. I listen to Buck Owens every day. Okay, okay, whoa, whoa. Well, now that you've admitted your wrongs, I think I'll let you pass. You seem like a great kid, polite smile and a great ass. Have a good day, son. Have a good day, sir. Have a good day, son. Have a good day, sir. Have a good day, son.
Anyways, so like I was saying before I was interrupted, right, so I'm walking along and this goblin comes up to me and he tries to stick me up, you know, and he comes in and, you know, he's just like,
"Yes, come closer, but watch your step or you will be the next that I collect."
And I'm just like, dude, I mean, like,
I'm just in a path, you know?
Right. Like, yeah. Like, you're not going to collect me. Right. You're not going to.
I'm an ancient evil mage of the Dark Forest.
Right, like, I'm a warlock of the Dark Forest.
You really think you're going to. You think you're going to amount to anything in this exchange? Like, you're just a goblin.
In this economy. Yeah,
exactly. So I you know, immediately sort of dispel of his existence, you know, a simple just like.
Unmade him, you know, with the banishing charm, or
yeah, I sort of just, you know, your typical sort of, you know, it was kind of like a, I almost like turned him inside out.
You reverse the polarity of all his molecules. He just went poof.
Yeah. Basically, yeah, and
classic, like Nathor's curse,
which
yeah,
actually, what I realized later was a terrible way to deal with the situation, right? Because right. Now I'm covered in goblin guts.
Oh yeah, oh. Classic mistake, classic wonder. Worst.
Which
gross, they smell. Which, so bad. Yeah.
On top of being gross and smelling bad, is going to attract a lot of even worse, larger creatures.
Yeah, much larger too.
The scavengers of the Dark Forest's food chain. You don't want to be a target.
Yeah, like the right. The like elder gnomes.
So I haven't even got my crystal yet, and here I am. I'm covered in goblin guts, and I gotta, you know, I gotta get out of here somehow before, you know, a giant like yeah, moon like devourer comes in and starts trying to like
that would
like,
be
eat me, yeah. Which I could probably deal with, but like it's gonna take a lot out of me, and I just I need to just get out of here. And so
you burn through a lot of your backlog,
right? And so I'm just.
Thank you.
Yeah, so this goblin, you know, goblin guts all over me. I actually, because I was right at the beach, I was able to wash it off in the water.
That's convenient.
I actually didn't get any crystals that time. I ended up just having to bail.
That sucks.
It ended up being a huge waste of time, but I ended up just, you know, getting out there. Yeah. I kind of hurried out.
Cutting your losses.
You know, teleport out, you know, quick spell. Just got to, you know,
that happens,
get home, take a shower, get all the guts and gunk off me. Right.
The Slaughter Beach can only wash off so much goblin carcass.
Right.
You know how it is.
And, you know, could I have tried to, you know, hire that goblin and, you know, make it work for me? Perhaps.
Probably, yeah.
Maybe. You know, maybe I could have threatened its family and gotten something out of it that way. But, you know.
Well, that's unethical, I'd say. Well, at least, you know.
I don't
that's
care.
That's what I've been taught, you know, is that.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah. They'll tell you that in the Great Tower.
All right,
they'll tell
all
you
right.
that. But
just because you made an ancient, you know, pact with a great, you know, being of the Dark Forest doesn't mean that you have to slander my master.
Yeah. I actually have a gift for your master.
Oh, really?
Waldo Jeffers had reached his limit. It was now mid-August, which meant he had been separated from Marcia for more than 2 months. 2 months, and all he had to show were 3 dog-eared letters and 2 very expensive long-distance phone calls. True, when school had ended and she'd returned to Wisconsin and he to Locust, Pennsylvania, she had sworn to maintain a certain fidelity. She would date occasionally, but merely as amusement. She would remain faithful. But lately, Waldo had begun to worry. He'd had trouble sleeping at nights, and when he did, he had horrible dreams. He lay awake at night, tossing and turning underneath his pleated quilt protector, tears welling in his eyes as he pictured Marcia, her sworn vows overcome by liquor and the smooth soothings of some Neanderthal, finally submitting to the final caresses of sexual oblivion. It was more than the human mind could bear. Visions of Marcia's faithlessness haunted him. Daytime fantasies of sexual abandon permeated his thoughts. And the thing was, they wouldn't understand how she really was. He, Waldo, alone understood this. He had intuitively grasped every nook and cranny of her psyche. He'd made her smile. She needed him, and he wasn't there.
Aww.
The idea came to him on the Thursday before the Mother's Parade was scheduled to appear. He just finished mowing and edging the Adelson's lawn for $1.50, and had checked the mailbox to see if there was at least a word from Marcia. There was nothing but a circular from the Amalgamated Aluminum Company of America inquiring into his awning needs. At least they cared enough to write. It was a New York company. You could go anywhere in the mails. Then it struck him. He didn't have enough money to go to Wisconsin in the accepted fashion, true, but why not mail himself? It was absurdly simple. He would ship himself parcel post special delivery. The next day, Waldo went to the supermarket to purchase the necessary equipment. He bought masking tape, a staple gun, and a medium-sized cardboard box just right for a person of his build. He judged that with a minimum of jostling, he could ride quite comfortably. A few air holes, some water, and perhaps midnight snacks, and it would probably be as good as going tourist. By Friday afternoon, Waldo was set. He was thoroughly packed, and the post office had agreed to pick him up at 3:00. He'd marked the package fragile, and as he sat curled up inside, resting on the foam rubber cushioning he'd thoughtfully included, he tried to picture the look of awe and happiness on Marcia's face as she opened her door, saw the package, tipped the deliverer, and then opened it to see her Waldo finally there in person. She would kiss him, and then maybe they could see a movie. If he'd only thought of this before. Suddenly, rough hands gripped his package, and he felt himself borne up. He landed with a thud in a truck and was off. Marcia Bronson had just finished setting her hair. It had been a very rough weekend. She had to remember not to drink like that. Bill had been nice about it, though. After it was over, he said he still respected her, and after all, it was certainly the way of nature, and even though, no, he didn't love her, he did feel an affection for her. And after all, they were grown adults. Oh, what Bill could teach Waldo. But that seemed many years ago. Sheila Klein, her very, very best friend, walked in through the porch screen door and into the kitchen. Oh, God, it's absolutely maudlin outside. Ugh, I know what you mean. I feel all icky. Marcia tightened the belt on her cotton robe with the silk outer edge. Sheila ran her finger over some salt grains on the kitchen table, licked her finger and made a face. I'm supposed to be taking these salt pills, but, she wrinkled her nose, they make me feel like throwing up. Marcia started to pat herself under the chin, an exercise she'd seen on television. God, don't even talk about that. She got up from the table and went to the sink where she picked up a bottle of pink and blue vitamins. Want one? Supposed to be better than steak. And then attempted to touch her knees. I don't think I'll ever touch a daiquiri again. She gave up and sat down, this time nearer the small table that supported the telephone. Maybe Bill will call, she said to Sheila's glance. Sheila nibbled on a cuticle. After last night, I thought maybe you'd be through with him. I know what you mean. My God, he was like an octopus, hands all over the place. She gestured, raising her arms upward in defense. And thing is, after a while, you get tired of fighting with him, you know. And after all, I didn't really do anything Friday and Saturday, so I kind of owed it to him. You know what I mean. She started to scratch. Sheila was giggling with her hand over her mouth. I tell you, I felt the same way. And even after a while, here she bent forward in a whisper, I wanted to. And now she was laughing very loudly. It was at this point that Mr. Jameson of the Clarence Darrow post office rang the doorbell of the large sticker-colored frame house. When Marsha Bronson opened the door, he helped her carry the package in. He had his yellow and his green slips of paper signed and left with a 15-cent tip that Marsha had gotten out of her mother's small beige pocketbook in the den. What do you think it is? Sheila asked. Marsha stood with her arms folded behind her back. She stared at the brown cardboard carton that sat. I don't know. Inside the package, Waldo quivered with excitement as he was hearing the voices. Sheila ran her fingernail over the masking tape and ran down the center of the carpet. Why don't you look at the return address and see who it's from? Waldo felt his heart beating. He could feel the vibrating footsteps. Marcia walked around the carton and read the ink scratched label. Oh, God, it's from Waldo. That schmuck, said Sheila. Waldo trembled with expectation. Well, you might as well open it, said Sheila. Both of them tried to lift the staple flap. Said Marcia. You must have nailed it shut. They tugged in the flap again. My God, you needed power drill to get this thing open. Get a grip. They both stood still, breathing heavily. Why don't you get a scissor, said she. Marcia ran to the kitchen, but all she could find was a good sewing scissor. Then she remembered that her father kept a collection of tools in the basement. She ran downstairs, and when she came back up, she had a large sheet metal cutter in her hand. This is the best I could find, she told her friend. Here, you do it. I'm gonna die. She sank into a large, fluffy couch and exhaled noisily. Sheila tried to make a slit between the masking tape and the end of the cardboard flap. The blade was too big and there wasn't enough room. God damn this thing, she said, feeling very exhausted. Then smiling, I got an idea. What, said Sheila. Just watch, said Sheila, touching her finger to her hand. Inside the package, Waldo was so transfixed with excitement that he barely breathed. His skin fell quickly from the heat, and he could feel his heart beating in his throat. It would be soon. Sheila stood quite upright and walked around to the other side of the package. Then she sank down to her knees, grasped the cutter by both handles, took a deep breath, and plunged the long blade through the middle of the package, through the masking tape, through the cardboard, through the cushioning, and right through the center of Waldo Jeffers' head, which split slightly and caused little rhythmic arcs of red to pulsate gently in the morning sun.
So I was walking through the forest one day, right? I was walking through like maybe like earlier in the week, and I was in this particular dense part of the forest. There was a lot of growth, a lot of greenery.
Oh, yeah.
They were kind of like sticky with sap. There was like some sort of like bizarre eerie sap
like
on it. I didn't want to get
or like brown sap.
It was like weirdly purple. Oh. I didn't quite know what to make of it.
Was the sap screaming or silent?
Oh, the sap was very silent, thankfully. Okay. If it was screaming,
dead
I,
silent, eerily silent.
Yeah, which is I honestly prefer
the
to
quiet,
screaming.
Syrup. Yeah, as a classic.
Anyway, yeah.
So as I was going through these growths, I happened upon a slithering sound in the distance, and I looked. There was this creature that was like, you know, kind of just like crawling, ambling along on like its back. It was like, you know, kind of shifting towards me. And then it was not silent at all. I started hearing a lot of noise. It sounded like all these different people. They were just like talking over each other over and over.
Yeah.
They were just like
Sort of rambling.
Yeah. Like that's
going
a,
on and on.
That's
and
a
on.
Good word to use, actually. I and like on. That word.
Yeah.
They were just
yeah.
like talking yeah. about all these different kinds of shit. And I realized I had come face to face with the ramble worm, and I knew that if I did not do something,
terrifying.
I would be it would make me go deaf with the amount of just pure noise volume being put into my ears. It would have been too much.
And you escaped with your sanity.
I did. I it was almost too much to fathom, but I was able to leave and tell a tale to you two, and I'm really grateful because otherwise I would have been a goner. It would have been bad.
Well, we're glad you're here. Thank you for sharing.
Of course. You know, I hope I don't get cut off in the middle telling.
We are building a religion. We are building it bigger. We are widening the corridors and adding more lanes. We are building a religion, a limited edition. We are now accepting callers for these pendant keychains. To resist it is useless. It is useless to resist it. His cigarette is burning, but he never seems to ash. He is grooming his poodle. He is living comfort eagle. You can meet at his location, but you'd better come with cash. Now his hat is on backwards. He can show you his tattoos. He is in the music business. He is calling you dude. Now today is tomorrow, and tomorrow today. And yesterday is weaving in and out. And the fluffy white lines that the airplane leaves behind are drifting right in front of the waning of the moon. He is handling the money, he's serving the food. He knows about your party, he is calling you dude. Yeah, do you believe in the one big sign? The double wide shine on the boot heels of your prime. Doesn't matter if you're skinny, doesn't matter if you're fat. You can dress up like a sultan in your onion head hat. We are building a religion, we're making a brand. We're the only ones to turn to when your castles turn to sand. Take a bite of this apple, Mr. Corporate Events. Take a walk through the jungle of cardboard shanties and tents. Some people drink Pepsi, some people drink Coke. The wacky morning DJ says democracy's a joke. He says, now do you believe in the one big song? He's now accepting callers who would like to sing along. He says, do you believe in the one true edge? By fastening your safety belts and stepping towards the ledge. He is handling the money, he is serving the food. He is now accepting callers, he is calling me dude. Do you believe in the one big sign? The double wide shine on the boot heels of your prime. There's no need to ask directions if you ever lose your mind. We're behind you, we're behind you. And let us please remind you, we can send a car to find you if you ever lose your way. We are building a religion. We are building it bigger. Pendant keychains.
faces in movies, on TV, in magazines, and in books. He thought that some of these faces might be right for him, and that through the years, by keeping an ideal facial structure fixed in his mind, or somewhere in the back of his mind, that he might, by force of will, cause his face to approach those of his ideal. The change would be very subtle. It might take 10 years or so. Gradually his face would change its shape. A more hooked nose. Wider, thinner lips. Beady eyes. A larger forehead. He imagined that this was an ability he shared with most other people. They had also molded their faces according to some idea. Maybe they imagined a new face better suit their personality. Or maybe they imagined that their personality would be forced to change to fit the new appearance. They may have arrived in an appearance that bears no relationship to them. They may have picked an ideal appearance based on some childish whim or momentary impulse. Some may have gotten halfway there and then changed their minds. If he too might have made a similar mistake.
Starting to get very depressed, so I went to the Kiev and ate breakfast. Then as I walked down 2nd Avenue towards St. Mark's Place, where all those people sell used books and other junk on the street, I saw my penis lying on a blanket next to a broken toaster oven. Some guy was selling it. I had to buy it off him. He wanted $22, but I talked him down to $17. I took it home, washed it off, and put it back on. I was happy again, complete. People sometimes tell me I should get it permanently attached, but I don't know. Even though sometimes it's a pain in the ass, I like having a detachable penis.
I was searching for a shard of the Mother Crystal the other day to get back to the Great Tower for a great and powerful warding and binding spell. And I found myself in the Glimmering Caves. Dangerous and dastardly realm. For those of the, you know, who are uninitiated, this is a realm of like illusory magic where very
powerful illusion magic in the Glimmering Caves.
Nothing is as it seems in the caves. Many travelers have been, you know, lost in the caves. It's said to be inhabited by many, many gnomes and, you know, even worse beings. But I was traveling through and I found a small pond that had a shimmering silver sword at the bottom of it.
Oh, an oasis in the Glimmering Caves.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
sure, which, sure,
and so
right.
I said to myself, perhaps this is real. And I dove in.
Oh.
And,
oh, man.
And then I was, you know, trying to...
in the sky. Once upon a time at the foot of a great mountain, there was a town where the people known as happy folk lived. Their very existence a mystery to the rest of the world, obscured as it was by great clouds. Here they played out their peaceful lives, innocent of the litany of excess and violence that was growing in the world below. To live in harmony with the spirit of the mountain called Monkey was enough. Then one day, strange folk arrived in the town. They came in camouflage, hidden behind dark glasses, but no one noticed them. They only saw shadows. You see, without the truth of the eyes, the happy folk were blind.
Falling out of aeroplanes and hiding out in holes, waiting for the sunset to come, people going home. Jump out from behind them and shoot them in the head. Now everybody dancing, the dance of the dead, the dance of the dead, the dance of the dead.
In time, strange folk found their way into the higher reaches of the mountain, and it was there that they found the caves of unimaginable sincerity and beauty. By chance, they stumbled upon the place where all good souls come to rest. The strange folk, they coveted the jewels in these caves above all things, and soon they began to mine the mountain, its rich scene fueling the chaos of their own world. Meanwhile, down in the town, the happy folks slept restlessly, their dreams invaded by shadowy figures digging away at their souls. Every day, people would wake and stare at the mountain. Why was it bringing darkness into their lives? And as the strange folk climbed deeper and deeper into the mountain, holes began to appear, bringing with them a cold and bitter wind that chilled the very soul of the monkey. For the first time, the happy folk felt fearful, for they knew that soon the monkey would stir from its deep sleep. Then there came a sound, distant first, that grew into gastrophony, so immense that it could be heard far away in space. There were no screams. There was no time. The mountain called Monkey had spoken. There was only fire. And then, nothing.
Oh, a little town in the USA, the time's come to see. There's nothing you believe you want. But where were you when it all came down on me? Did you call me home?
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Dark Forest. We are almost through. We have almost made it out of the forest.
This long, winding road, this road that rambles on and on, it's coming to an end. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for listening to our stories. We hope you've enjoyed it.
As usual, you can find this playlist and all previous ones on our social media at DarkForestWRBB on Instagram or Twitter or on our Discord. Thank you so much to The Apprentice for coming all the way here from the Great Tower.
Thank you for having me.
It's really been great to have your perspective. I feel like we've learned a lot from you and your definitely legitimate ways of the Great Tower. It's been awesome.
You know, thanks so much.
Send the tower my regards.
I shall.
And my curses. Make sure you pass those along.
I won't send those along.
Why not?
That's what you think. You will, though. You will.
All right.
We have one more song for you. Please enjoy.
Thanks for listening.
Until next time.